I think I'm going to start with a repressed memory I had. Well, first of all, I want to say that Al-Anon asked me to speak. And I said, geez, if you asked me to speak in December or November, I would have said yes. But right now, I'm kind of going through some challenges, and I didn't feel qualified to speak. But I think when we're having challenges, we're almost more qualified to speak. But you know, the other day in the ACA meeting on Wednesday night, we were talking about relapse. And one of the traits of relapse is that we think we're cured. And that's where I was. I thought I was cured November and December. I had it down. I was really walking in joy, and I loved my life, and it was amazing. But I think now looking back on it, what it was the contrast from being really, really messed up to feeling, you know, starting to feel joy and starting to feel love inside of me, that it just felt so freaking good. I thought, this is it, man. This is life. You know, and I think I actually was cured. I felt completely well. There wasn't a moment in the day. I had whole days of joy and whole days of love inside of me, and I was just walking in this, and I was like, wow, this is incredible. But I think life is not consistent. It's like a river, and I look at kind of spiritual growth in this spiral like a corkscrew. You know, so we go around and around. So I made that trip around of coming out of being really sick to being well. And, you know, then it started to go back into the trials. And let's see how well you really are, James, you know. And I just got hammered in January. I was so glad when January ended. I was like, thank God for months. Matter of fact, I like all time periods. I think higher power really works in time periods, like years. And that's where the shift was. You know, I ended this year of... I started at ACA in February. And I ended the year, you know, in this incredible growth, in this incredible, like, joy. And I mean, I was, like, so good. But then January came, so it's a whole new year. So now we're going to start over again, James, you know. I didn't really want to, but higher power did. And I didn't even know what was going on. I just thought, like, man, what's going on here? And then once I kind of pieced it all back together, it was like, okay, we have to go to the next level, you know, learn more, you know, and make that next trip around. So I'm really looking forward to that November and December of this year. But I'm kind of a double dipper. I started in Al-Anon in February, and I think it was like every single meeting, the first three Al-Anon meetings I went to, someone in the room afterwards recommended me to go to ACA. So after the third one, higher power works for me a lot in threes. I have to get it three times until I get it. So I got it. And I showed them to ACA pretty much, you know, 2 weeks after I started Al-Anon. And it's a real nice kind of mix for me because I'm dealing with my qualifier at home is my wife, and it's very challenging. But Al-Anon gave me the tools to survive and, you know, and be able to live, take care of myself and, you know, kind of separate myself from what she's doing and see her as a sick person and not, you know, someone that's trying to hurt me and doing things, you know. I took it also personally. So now I've identified her problem and I'm able to, like, let her be, you know. As a matter of fact, this is something I really want to say. In ACA, what it's done for me, the prayer itself, in October 10th, I started saying this prayer in the mountains over and over again. It's the ACA prayer. I started saying it over and over again because I figured, I finally realized it's a prayer, you know. Oh, it's a prayer. Prayers are supposed to help us. Okay, I'll try saying this, you know. So I said it over and over and over because I take like these three, four-hour hikes a lot. And I just said it over and over and over and over. And I finally got it. You know, it's like, it's separating what everyone else is doing from what I'm doing. And everyone else has their own play. You know, it's like everyone is doing what they want to do. And I can't control that, you know. I was trying to control my rooms and the people I was with at all times. Matter of fact, I wrote in my diary about this. It's like there's a play going on And the play that I was on, it was called Fear. Because I had fear of acceptance, like, incredible. I was so afraid of what people were thinking about me that I could not be myself. I was completely identified by the way people reacted to me, what they were saying to me. And so the play of Fear was run by the people, like, for instance, you guys. You were all the directors, and you were all the writers of the play. And I was the actor, but I only got the script right when I was with you. You'd look at me, and you'd look at me a certain way, so I'd like, oh, I have to act this way. You know, and then they'd say something. Oh, now my script is to respond the way they would like me to say, right? So it's just a bunch of bullshit. I was living this way my whole life. From a little kid, I didn't know I was doing it. I was just raised this way to respond. So it's really reacting. The play of Fear, I was reacting all the time to try to please people. And it was total fear. I was living in fear of acceptance. And some of you in my Monday group, I said at one, I'll preface this with, higher power speaks through me in my shares. And if it's like, I have to go home and go, why did I say that? It's like, so I said in this share, I said, my purpose in my life, because I'm looking for a purpose right now. I'm retired, and I'm trying to figure out what my third chapter is going to be. I call it my third chapter. And so I was looking for my purpose, but I was looking for my purpose as a really sick person, you know. So, you know, I want to help people too. So and that's one of our conditions of Al-Anon and ACA is helping people. But as a sick person, you're not going to really help people very much. So higher power got me into these programs so that I could enter my third chapter somewhat healthy, and then, you know, I'd be able to help people. But where was I going with that?
What you shared on Monday night.
Oh, yeah, Monday night. I popped out of my mouth. I said, my purpose in my life is to get rid of fear. It just popped out of my mouth. I'm like, okay. I get it, you know. So that was like October 8th. And then October 10th, I started saying the ACA prayer over and over and over and over and over again in the mountains. And suddenly I got it. It's like, oh, I see. I call myself Moses now because I let all the people go. And it's kind of true. I can actually leave a room. I can leave a room, and I may get a thought of, like, you know, what is Larry going to think of me, you know, what? But I just simply go, we're not doing that anymore. Matter of fact, I am not an I anymore. I'm a we, as probably all of you guys know too. I have all my little children. I have my ego. I have my higher power. I have my inner child, and then I have my inner parent. And, you know, I have all these voices in my head now. But so a lot of times I have to just figure out who's talking. And a lot of this happens at night, actually. I wake up in the middle of the night, and it's like someone's talking, you know. So first I identify, who is this, you know. And then I have a conversation. But I try to have the conversation with my inner child. I have kind of a weird interpretation of ACA. For me, I think inner child is higher power. This is what I think, and I'm not trying to convince anybody of this. But I call it the seed from heaven. And we came from this, you know, ecstasy. And that's who we really are. You know, oh, gosh. I don't want to preach here. Okay. What's that? So, yeah, I try to get into my inner child when I'm talking to all these other people. And it seems to help. But the one thing I'm not trying to do is we're supposed to reparent our inner child. My inner child's saying, if we're going to do that program, forget about it. Just forget about it. Because my inner child's finally coming to life. And he wants to have fun. He wants to enjoy life. He's ready to go. But if I'm going to start parenting him, especially now, me as kind of a weirdo, sick person, I'm going to mess up that inner child. He's going to go right back into hiding. So I have to really be careful with my inner child. Let my inner child live. Let my inner child have freedom. And not try to control my inner child. And I love that part. I love just letting my inner child go, and that's where I'm finding incredible light. And, tell me when I'm getting close.
Oh.
So, where was I going to go? Oh, I got to get my notes. That's my note. Oh, mirror work. Yeah. This is some of the stuff I want to talk about. Mirror work for me was incredible. I stood in front of the mirror. People told me to do this. I didn't. And it's in the book. So I'd stare in one, my left eye, and stare in my right eye, you know, and tell me I love myself. I love myself. And I get all these reasons why I'm not lovable. And it's just, you know, it was weird. So I kept doing it. I kept doing it just in faith that this might work, you know. And I had a bunch of positive affirmations written down. I'd say those to myself. I get a bunch of arguments back. But I kept doing it. I started seeing a little progress, you know. I'm like, wow, this has got potential, you know. So the key word for me was safe. When I finally got that word into the mirror, into my own eyes, I said, James, you're safe. You're safe. And I had to say it over and over again to each eye, you know, and go back and forth. But you're safe. You're safe. You're safe. You're safe. I love you. You're safe. And when I started to feel safe, something happened. It was like that was when I started to feel really healed and better, you know. It was like, oh, because that was the fear. The fear was going away because I knew I was safe. And it was really, I could see, too, the inner divinity come out through the mirror. And I actually can see it all the time now. Not that I have it all the time, but I can see it when I don't have it, and I can see it when I do have it. Because I live, you know, with a challenging person. So we're at dinner, you know, and she'll press one of my buttons, which I got a lot of them. And I'll just say, I got to go to the bathroom, you know. And I don't really have to go to the bathroom. I just got to get to the freaking mirror, you know. I just start going, you're safe. You're safe. But when I first go in there, I see the old guy. I see the fear. You know, I see this kind of dysfunctional mess of a person. And, oh, do I hate that guy. It's not that I hate him. I just don't want to be him anymore. I really don't want to be that anymore. I'm so committed. So really, all these stumbles that are happening now all through January, you know, they look bad, but really, you know what they are? For me, they're like encouragement. They're like saying, yes, you're on the right path. Do not go backwards. I do not want to go backwards. And so all the little stumbles that happened in January really just pushed me harder and harder to say, yes, to your child, yes, higher power, we're going, and we're going to do this. And this program's working, and I love. And I did have the benefit, too, of having November and December to know what a healthy person feels like. So, but I'm not saying I'm healthy right now, okay? I wanted to bring up this little thing on worthiness. I hear from higher power a lot because I'm in the mountains a lot and I'm quiet a lot. And just hear these, he speaks in very short sentences. And this one time he said to me, this is after the mirror work. He said to me, it's kind of funny really now to think about it. He goes, James, you're worthy to take up space. I mean, what a freaking low compliment that was. I know right where I was on my bike ride, too. I know right where I was. Las Positas and Modoc going towards the bike path. James, you're worthy to take up space. And I immediately thought to myself, wow, I'm like a bug, you know. Bug takes up space. I'm a frog. A frog takes up space. But in a weird way, I felt so reassured. It was like, I'm worthy to take up space on this planet. In other words, I'm going to cry. Because I didn't feel worthy, you know, at all. I didn't know. As a matter of fact, before the bike ride, I'm going to myself, what is wrong? I have a bike ride and I'm retired, you know. And this is, it was beautiful, you know, and this should be fun, you know, what's going on? I have this ache in my chest. What is wrong with me? So he tells me at the stoplight, I'm worthy to take up space. And man, I started crying, like tears were hitting my knees as I pedaled across the street and went about half a mile down the road, just a river of tears. And I started to feel worthy. It was a major, major breakthrough for me. And we're all worthy, you know, but the codependency and the fear of acceptance didn't allow me to feel worthy. And also, I don't want to go in that repressed memory thing, but I had a few repressed memories that were so powerful. I didn't even believe in these repressed memories. I thought people were that, you know, said they were abused by their mother, whatever, you know. I'm like, yeah, right, whatever. Now you're going to remember when you're an adult, sure. How could you not remember it? But I had two serious, like, have to process these in order to get healed memories. Because they affected me throughout my entire life. Things that happened, one was like at, both were right around 5 and 6, which is a really powerful age of turning points for people. And I got hammered. I won't go into what they were, but it was two separate people, and I just had to forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive. Until I got to the point, you know, where I wanted the very best for them. You know, I really felt that I was finished with that. So I stopped ACA for almost 2 months. I think it was like 6 weeks. Because when these came up, they came up kind of back to back. And I was just, this program sucks, man. It makes you remember all your bad stuff. You know? I got to get out of this. But, and, you know, so here's what higher power does, right? Higher power goes, because once I got through the forgiveness, Marina, who was in charge of the key for the place of the Monday meetings, and I used to go to the church there, she says, the head guy, I know him, will trust you with the number. Not that he doesn't trust anyone else here, but it was higher power working to get me back into the program. So I reluctantly went and opened up the building. I didn't want to stay, and then on top of that, I have the key, so I have to, like, close it so everyone's sitting and chatting, you know, and I'm like, I want to get out of here. I hate this, you know. I'm like, ah. So I was forced to stay, you know, and started to fellowship a little, started to feel a little more worthy and, you know, not worry about what people are thinking about me as much. And now it's like I'm still in charge of that key, and it's been about 8 months. And I love the afterglow, the crosstalk. The legal crosstalk, you know. I'd love to share. And then we all get up, pick it apart, you know. It's kind of legal crosstalk. So, I think I'm done, aren't I? Yeah.